This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين ونسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا ويتقبل منا ونسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وإليه توكلنا وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبعد Praise be to Allah, we praise Him with all the praises. We seek His forgiveness, guidance and His mercy. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our bad deeds and the bad that's inside us. We ask Allah to forgive us, to guide us, to accept from us our deeds purely for His pleasure and His sake. We ask Allah to give us useful knowledge and understanding and give us wide sustenance. To Him we return, to Him is our goal. And on Him we utterly depend. And there is no power and might except that of Allah. And we send peace and prayers on His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, to continue with the story, just to clarify a couple of points from last time. Last time I mentioned to you, and we left around the story at the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khadija, bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And I mentioned to you that it's not a major point, but it's important for to understand how things are assessed in the field of knowledge and ilm. Some of our brothers listened to this that part, and when I mentioned that actually the 40 years of age has no authenticity. The 40 years of age of Khadija radiallahu anha marrying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of our brothers were absolutely flabbergasted after the talk and said, "Well, we've never heard this all our lives, and that's not the first time I hear things like that. And why is that we're hearing it first time? It's like taking, excuse me for using the word gospel truth, as though it was the word of God that he was 40 years of age." Why no alim in all these years of listening in TV, radio, masajid, have they ever disagreed or said anything different? They all say 40, and they actually marvel at it, actually, and say perhaps it was some mu'jiza from Allah that she had all these children after 40 years, meaning she even went past menses. And that's not how ulama thought. These are sort of passings on of comments of people who never really checked properly these kind of things. It's not a big issue, but it's an issue from an ilm point of view. So I don't know why these people who have been passing on the 40 years of age have done it for decades and perhaps more decades than that, and sometimes the lives of the whole of the people in the community never heard anything different. I can't vouch for them. You have to ask them why they've not checked it. But the reality is that this 40 years of age, and let me repeat again from last time, only comes from one source. And I actually checked many seerah books, both in English and especially in Arabic, many of them. And I see where some of them don't even mention the age. The others who mention it, you can see the same comment as being cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste, right? They didn't have cut and paste in, no, they just copied it. And they copied it from only one source, which was, I mentioned to you last time, Al-Waqidi. In Ibn Sa'd's Tabaqat, that's the only place it's mentioned. So anybody who's taken it has got it only from that source. There is no other place in Quran and Sunnah, authentic hadith, that this is mentioned. It's not a big issue. Again, let me repeat, I'm mentioning it from a technique and methodological point of view. Right? That's the only source. So whoever's mentioning it, it's not because they've got it from 20 other scholars. There's only one source. Waqidi, as I mentioned to you before, and I will repeat it and mention it many times before, is seen as a liar from the point of view of ulama, of knowledge and thabat, those who are firm in knowledge and proper understanding. The other report we had, which I said mentioned 28, is from Ibn Ishaq. It is mentioned by Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is a muhaddith who wrote the Al-Mustadrak, the supplement to Bukhari Muslim. He mentions it from Ibn Ishaq as being 28. Now, let me say, if I had a choice to listen to Ibn Ishaq's opinion or Al-Waqidi, anybody with any element of knowledge will know which one to rely on more. Ibn Ishaq is seen as Suduq in Hadith. Suduq means he's not Hujjah, not like Imam Malik, not like Ibn Umar and Nafi', yeah, not like other transmitters, but Suduq means he's truthful, but he makes mistakes as well. Ibn Ishaq is that level, and then Waqidi is down amongst the liars and matruks. So whose word am I going to take? Nevertheless, Ibn Ishaq mentions it without a chain. There's no sanad. So even the 28 is not like this. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying if I have a choice between the two, I would prefer the 28 seems to fit more with her marrying and having all these children afterwards. As many other ulama said in books of ulama, the common public aren't going to know about this. And those who are preachers and imams who don't delve into these things, they're not going to tell you this because they've never even searched it or heard anything different. So I apologize. I don't apologize, actually. If you want to ask them why they've never mentioned this in your 60 years or 70 years, I remember giving a talk in Ramadan last year, actually in Slough. And the people in Slough who were gathered there, they'll know this, they listen and hear this, that it was a talk on Ramadan. And I obviously mentioned various Quranic ayat in regards to that and lots of hadith. And I mentioned amongst that hadith, which is very famous, passed around from pulpits from various places. And I mentioned that this hadith is not authentic. It is weak to the extent we shouldn't use it and say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that this hadith isn't even mentioned in the six books. The Siha Sitta, as they are known, Siha Sitta, and by the way, six books being called the six authentic doesn't mean that all the hadith in those six books are authentic. This is a misconception, and the title of Siha Sitta is actually misleading. The title to call them Siha Sitta is misleading, and many ulama of hadith objected to it, but it was used by fuqaha and ulama just as a matter of convenience. That they're saying that majority perhaps of the hadith in them are authentic. Yeah. But people had exceptions, especially to Ibn Majah, because many hadith in that are weak and actually some fabricated as well. So some excluded Ibn Majah from the Siha Sitta title and put rather in there things like Ad-Darimi's collection, or others put Muwatta of Imam Malik in there. In the Siha. So that's another debate. But the point is that this hadith, which I mentioned in Slough, wasn't even in these books. It was mentioned in Al-Bayhaqi hundreds of years later, and the muhaddithin said it's not authentic. And this is a famous hadith which says that one in the month of Ramadan, one who does a voluntary deed will be rewarded as though they had done a fard deed. And one who does a fard deed will be rewarded 70 times its reward. Its first part of the month, third, is mercy. Its second third is maghfirah. And the last third is being saved from the fire. Who has heard of this hadith? Most people. I'm surprised if nobody's, if there's anybody who hasn't heard this hadith, because it's the most popular one actually amongst the ahadith. It is very weak. It is not acceptable to say, Qala Rasulullah. So when I mentioned this, of course, the talk was about a whole lot of other things. I just mentioned this. One elderly man 70, and I felt sorry for him. He stood up and he was really angry. It seems he missed everything else I said, but he couldn't stand the fact that I've made this week Hadith week. He said, "Brother, you know, you come up, you know, wherever you... I've been listening to ulama and alims from, you know, from the country I came from to this and the pulpit here, scholars of all background source who've been mentioning this. And who are you to come here and tell us suddenly?" I said, "Well, what can I do? I'm not the first one to say it. But if you go to the people of knowledge, it's in the books from centuries ago that it's weak. I haven't made it weak today. So how can I answer you? Ask them why they're not telling you." So I mention this because this, again, although this issue of the age of Khadija is not such a big issue, but it's the same kind of comment I got about, you know, how come you're the only one? I'm not the only one. But you need to be, it's whether people, and that's, of course, public I don't blame, because public isn't expected to delve into the sources and check and recheck and look at them, because they don't have the ability, unless you learn the ulum that ulama use. And many, many a'imma and preachers, even those who've gone to Darul Ulooms and 7 years and 10 years, they have not delved into, I guarantee it for you. They've done a lot of rote learning, and often in the madhab, yeah, of opinions, but not actually gone into analysis and critique. That's a different area. So there's imams and there's imams. There's fuqaha and then there's fuqaha. You understand what I mean when I say that in English? Yeah? There's ulama and there's ulama. Okay? So I'm not saying I'm one of the ulama. I'm just saying that this is the thing to do with research and going into things in a deeper way to discover and realize. Now, so the second thing is Masood raised about hadith, and I want to mention it because I looked at you said you saw the hadith. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "I desired in the time of Jahiliyyah when I was a young man to go and partake of what young people," because he was young looking after the sheep and goats. And this is the hadith. I have it word for word in Arabic, and you need to look at the Arabic sources because translations can often be misleading. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and after that, I was prevented from doing that. What was he prevented from? The hadith carries on. He said, "One evening, I asked one of my colleagues to look after the sheep and which I was grazing. So, because I wanted to go and join and had a desire to partake of the leisure time," he mentions it like that, "of what the young youth were doing in Mecca. So, as I approached Mecca to the first houses of Mecca, I heard the sound of drums," and he mentions, "and flutes, mizmar, and dufuf or gharabir, which is another kind of drum." Then he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't say then he fainted or fell asleep. He goes, "So he mentions, I amused myself," and in one report, a same authentic, same hadith, he says, "I sat down and listened. Jalastu wa sami'tu. I sat down and listened to the drums and the music. Right? Then I fell asleep," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "and I woke up with the sun on my face," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. But before that, actually, when he arrives and sees the music, etc., he asks the people there, you know, "What's going on?" They said, "So-and-so is getting married to so-and-so. There's a marriage taking place." So he's part of a marriage ceremony and music is being played. But other things happen in those marriage ceremonies, we know from Jahiliyyah. So this part, he says, "I sit and listen." Yeah? He says it from his own words. He said, then it happens another time. He comes back another day. Same thing happens. Another wedding. He listens again to the drums and the music. And then he falls asleep after that. So then when he comes back, what's interesting is his companion in the same hadith asks him, "So what did you do?" The Prophet ﷺ said, I did nothing. Some claim that it means he didn't listen to music and the drums. If the Prophet ﷺ said, "I did nothing," he cannot mean I did not listen to the music and drums. Otherwise, he would be now the billah lying. True? Look at what the hadith is saying. Jalastu wa sami'tu. How can then he say to his companion, "I didn't do anything"? when he's saying from his own words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I sat down and I listened. What he's saying, I didn't do anything, is what happened beyond that. What happened beyond that, which is boozing, adultery, all kinds of things were going on in those kind of occasions with young people. You think he's just new now? It was going on then as well. So when he says, I didn't do anything, he means he didn't partake of the rest of what took place. And remember, ulama is saying he's being saved from kaba'ir. Yeah? So kaba'ir is in that. So that's just to clarify. Those are the actual words of the hadith. Yeah? When you check them, then you do analysis of what's actually being said. And then you critique what somebody else's conclusion is. Yeah? Anyway, that's a different story. Coming back to the seerah. Now, Rasulullah, as we said, marries Khadija radiallahu anha. We know from the reports, without the details, that the Prophet did some trade business. He's already involved not just in grazing, but trade businesses as well. Around his 20s now. Some reports mention that one of the trade journeys he did was for Khadija radiallahu anha, and now this trade journey was to Busra again. Remember we heard Busra? Towards Sham, not Basra in Iraq. Yeah? And he comes to sit under a tree. Hey, oh, here we go again with a similar story to Bahira. Now he comes and sits under a tree, and somebody called Nestor, the monk called Nestor, is there. And Maysara, who's the young man sent by Khadija radiallahu anha in this story to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is asked by Nestor, the monk, who is that man sitting under that tree? When he tells him, who so-and-so, he says, because only prophets sit under that tree. This story has no basis, again, just like the story of Bahira, we said. Okay? Some say Nestor is the same monk. Others say Bahira had died and Nestor, like Bahira, is a type of monk. It's not necessarily the name. Nestorians were a type of Christians who lived in that area, and an order of monks, you could say. Yeah? But again, I'm mentioning it for completeness, because you read about it in some books, in others it's not even mentioned. Yeah, but it doesn't have any basis at all. There's no sanad that's authentic to it at all. And we don't need authenticity or proclamation of Rasulullah from Nestor or Bahira. We don't. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, so some of these reports say, so Maysara comes back and says to Khadija, oh, you don't know about this Muhammad. So-and-so said this about him, and there were angels shadowing over him and things like that. And then the story weaved further, so she's obviously impressed, not just... So it's the weaving of the story carries on then. Oh, she's impressed because this man's not like any... So I want to marry him. But actually, the reality is, nobody knew about his nubuwwah. I said to you before, all the evidence is against that. Yeah? All the evidence is against that. If he knew and Khadija knew, then the rest of the story we're going to come to in a minute when wahi comes would not be that kind of behavior that we saw, would it? Those of you know the story already. Anyway, the fact is what we have, the Prophet ﷺ already been established as al-Amin, trustworthy. He was well known for that and his trade business, etc. What we know of truthfulness is Khadija radiallahu anha proposed to him and he married her. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam and radiallahu anha at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should know that while Khadija radiallahu anha was alive, right up until the approximately, and we'll come to it, just a few years before the Hijrah, when Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, that was his only wife. It was only after that. That the other wives. And on the issue of wives, I'll take a separate session on that. Who were his wives, when he married them, etc. And all the background to that will require a separate session, including the marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha, which causes so much controversy and makes some Muslims so apologetic they're almost crying and, as though the Prophet says, na'udhu billah, it doesn't need your... Anyway, we'll look at that another time, not today. So, from the Prophet ﷺ, all the children that I said to you last time are from Khadija radiallahu anha, except one, Ibrahim, who was from Maria al-Qubti, which comes later on in Medina. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, it is after marriage, also we have the issue of the rebuilding of the Kaaba. The Kaaba, it is said in reports that it had no roof, it had become damaged, etc. So the Quraysh decided to rebuilt from the foundation and to strengthen it, etc., and put a roof on it. And some reports mentioned that while they were doing it, they ran out of material and therefore they left the hijra out. Allahu alam what the truth is. There's no strong chain for having that sort of thing. But what we know for sure is the Prophet ﷺ was involved in this situation, probably in his mid-30s or somewhere, as he's getting closer towards the time of Nubuwwah, that they ran into dispute. The leaders of the Quraysh, amongst them Walid ibn Mughira and others, Harb and Abu Jahl, all the kind of leadership that are around, they ran into dispute amongst the tribes. Why? Because who's going to replace the black stone in its place? And nearly ended up having blows and a fight over it, until somebody suggested, what we'll do is, we'll wait and see the next morning who the first person is who comes into the haram, and we'll ask them to arbitrate and decide for us. And lo and behold, the person who arrived, of course, as Allah willed it, was Muhammad Rasulullah. And as he walked in, it seems that he was already known as Al-Amin. Some people, some historians and ulama say he became known as Al-Amin after that. Others say no, he was actually Al-Amin before that. It wasn't just that incident. People used to keep their money. We have that evidence from authentic hadith. They're not just when he became prophet. They used to keep, it was like a local bank. Didn't charge interest, of course, when I say bank. So I use it carefully when I say bank. They used to keep their possessions, as amanah. He used to keep it for them and return them when they needed them. He's well known for that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not after prophet, but even before that. So his amanah and being Al-Amin was well established. This established it further, actually, because they said, oh, it's Al-Amin. So God sent us this, we'll get justice. So the Prophet ﷺ told them how to resolve it, is all of them grab a big sheet and all of them carry different sides of the sheet to represent all the different tribes that were arguing over it. And the Prophet ﷺ placed the black stone himself. And then removed it and put it in the place where it should be, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everybody was happy with this issue. Now, we come to towards the time of Nubuwwah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very special time. And Nubuwwah, well, we're talking about now, it is established, it's an authentic tradition that he was 40 years of age, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he became a prophet and a messenger. Prophet and a messenger. And therefore, that takes us, if his birth is 571, it takes us to the year 610. Not 611, 610, as I explained to you before, when we look at the solar calendar, you've lost a year from the lunar calendar, so he's 40 in lunar calendar terms, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so when he was 40 years of age. We have authentic report in Bukhari that sometime before this, not exactly how, but some years as he was growing towards 40, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned later that rock there used to say salam to me. This is one of the mu'jiza. Prophet ﷺ says in authentic hadith, there's a rock in Mecca that used to say salam to him. He never understood it before Nubuwwah, you see. But rock used to say it. In Tirmidhi, it mentions that a tree used to say it as well. But Tirmidhi's report is not authentic, but Bukhari mentions it as an authentic report. The Prophet ﷺ said, a rock used to say salam to me. And the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, mentions in authentic hadith, and these are in Bukhari Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ for some time, and it seems not exact, but again a couple of years perhaps before, Prophet ﷺ began to having vivid dreams like breaking daylight. Vivid dreams. Doesn't say what the content of the dreams were. But things started happening to him near that time, which, I mean, subhanAllah, vivid dreams, a rock saying salam, and he started also, as Aisha radhiyallahu anha mentions, started retreating to the cave of Hira on Mount Hira. He used to go for some days and nights, take the provisions, and he started to retreat there and doing tahannuth. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha was asked, what's tahannuth? He said, I asked Rasulullah, and he said, ta'abbud. Tahannuth means meditation. Ta'abbud means worship. We have no details of what kind of worship it was, because he hasn't got salah yet being sent down. He hasn't got communication from Allah. He hasn't got communication. But it's like, you can see it from the story of Ibrahim. It's searching. We know his opinions in regards to idol worship, which was in agreement with the opinions of others like him. Ahnaf, the names who I mentioned to you before. Those who rejected idolatry. Yeah. So the Prophet has some searching, yeah, but he's different from the others, of course. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing him. So he's meditating and searching. Searching Allah for the truth. Because of course, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you didn't know what scripture was or what iman was. He's talking, ma kunta in the singular, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's talking. Wa wajadaka dhallan fahada. That's in Surah Ad-Duha. Surah Ad-Duha is mostly referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah? We found you, we don't say misguided. We find you looking, searching. Yeah. So dhallan here doesn't mean misguided. Dalan here means is out of respect. We don't use that word. Yeah, we use the word that he's searching and he doesn't know what Sirat al-Mustaqim. Yeah, and this is again an evidence that guidance from Allah is required for human beings to be judged by Allah. They are not left to their fitrah to find the truth and be judged on that, as some of the Mu'tazila sects said. Centuries ago, they said, oh, we should be alive. Some people have got this idea even today that out of our own, Allah's put fitrah truth in, so we should be able to find it. We're going to be punished if we don't. No. This is against the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And surely we do not punish anyone until we send a messenger, which means until the message is received. And actually kufr is to reject when the message comes. And further to that, what's the other condition? You understand it. Understand it. You realize that this is the truth. You don't get a twisted message. You get a clear message. You understand and you reject. That's called kufr. That is the meaning of kufr. Now, a messenger bringing a message, yes, is not the same as you and me taking a message to someone, is it? Let's be very clear about it. Some people get, worked up, oh, look, internet, social, everything's around for people to find the truth. I mean, look, we Muslims are confused with what's on social media about Islam, are we not? Shias and weirdos claim, lesbians and homosexuals claiming to be Muslims, saying this is halal, this is allowed, I'm allowed to do what I want, yet I'm Muslim. There's all sorts out there confusing Muslims. So what do you think non-Muslims are seeing as a message of Islam? Do you think they're getting it like Allah saying, وَمَا كُنَّا مُؤْذِبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we do not punish the people until we send a messenger. That's not a messenger coming. That's confusion and chaos coming, yeah? You can blame the media, you can blame anybody, but the reality is, did they get the message? That's why we say, in my opinion, is firm in that don't judge other people as kuffar, just come out with a word like that. Because you don't know. You don't know. And why I say understanding? Because even any human being is exempt as soon as they lose their ability to comprehend their aql. They are called ghayr mukallaf. They are not responsible, they're not answerable anymore. Somebody with a low IQ, somebody who becomes senile, somebody who is majnoon, are they answerable? Absolutely not in this deen. So therefore, somebody who hasn't understood it, that's where it's linked with. I understand and I get the clear message. And I reject when I realize this is the truth. That's how the kuffar are actually described. Yeah? Very important message to understand. And so much so that the message is needed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't bring it from himself. Do we say that? Anybody who says, in fact, Mushrikeen say that. The Orientalists, this is what they say. He concocted it himself. Yeah? Others helped him. Or he dreamt it up in one of his fits that he was having. Now the Bilamin Dalik. We don't say that. We don't say that. Absolutely not. So, Prophet was withdrawing and in this state of ta'abbud, etc. And, you know, the coming of Rasulullah, it's interesting. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and makes it clear, first evidence we have is the Quran itself, that it has been mentioned in the previous scriptures, which means in the Old and New Testament, they already knew about him coming. And when Quran is being revealed, if Allah says it's there, it means it was there even at the time of Rasulullah in the scripture. But in, they started removing things. And do you think removing is not been taking place? It's been they rejected books. Committees of Christian leadership sat down and said, we'll take this one and we will reject this one. Yeah, and then we'll change it. Don't you think? And they changed from Aramaic to the chain that took place from Aramaic to Greek and then Greek to other language. So much has been changed by the hands of others. Yeah, who knew? Who knew? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Araf, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّي. Those who follow the messenger. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him the messenger and the prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he's both. يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّي. The unlettered prophet. Ummi couldn't read or write. Some people try to argue, oh yeah, he could read and write. And some apologetic Muslims also try to take a move away from the meaning because they wrongly thought this is an insult to Rasulullah. It is not an insult. It is a part of his mu'jaza. It's a part of the miracle that one who couldn't read and write, look what he came with. Yeah? The people of language and the poets and those who were educated in the top level of Arabic, they couldn't fathom this amazing Quran that he came with. So this is not an insult to Rasulullah, it is a part of his mu'jiza that he could not read and write, and there's many, many evidences to him being... anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on in the ayah. The unlettered prophet... الَّذِينَ يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا إِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Who they find, this unlettered prophet, الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا إِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, who they find written down with them, talking about Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, where? Written down, مَكْتُوبًا إِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, in the Torah, in the Injil. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ وَيَدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. What did he come to do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to command that which is right and good. Yes, and forbid that which is evil and wrong, and to make halal for them all that which is good, and to make haram for them all that which is filthy, khaba'ith, khabith. وَيَدَعُوا عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالِ أَلَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is specifically talking to the people of the book, and to remove from them, إِصْرَهُمْ, the burdens, and the أَغْلَال, which is like chokes around the necks that they used to have for slaves. To remove that. Remove the shackles from them and the difficulty from them. Allati kanat alayhim, which meaning the rabbis and others had put on them. You can't do this, you can't do that. So it also shows you Deen of Islam is actually much more relaxed. Yeah? As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let the Jews see in this deen is fusha, wideness in this deen. We're not just about ritual. There's wideness in this deen. There's room for relaxing in this deen. Not about becoming monks. There's marriage in this deen. There's trade in this deen. There's making profit in this deen. There's having children. There's enjoyment in this deen. Subhanallah. This is the deen of balance. So this is also the meaning here. But notice about written with them. Quran saying that. Not so authentic hadith. Quran saying that. And despite So we believe it was written down. Despite all the changes and rubbing out and obliterating the word, we believe he was mentioned there. It's still there, actually. It's still there from Genesis, which quotes Jacob gathering the people and saying, keep Allah's contract, as it were. And the scepter, meaning the promise of Allah, of Nubuwa in the household of Bani Israel. Remember, Bani Israel is Yaqub al-Islam. From the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said it himself. Do you know who Israel was? Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't know. He said it was Yaqub alayhi salam. He was known Israel. So he's gathering and saying, the scepter, meaning the promise of Allah of sending the Buwa, will not move from the Bani Israel, from the house, from my children, until the Shiloh comes. The Shiloh comes. In other words, there will be a time when someone else will come. And all people will gather to him. It will be shifted. And that's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find in Deuteronomy 18:18, famous verse. If you want to go into details, listen to the likes of Zakir Naik and Ahmadita rahimahullah. Yeah, for that's their expertise. I don't necessarily recommend you listen to everything that they say, but that is their expertise, definitely. They'll tell you off by heart exactly where the verses are. And what they mean. And this Deuteronomy is words of Musa alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God's saying that I was sent unto them from your brethren. Brethren means not from you, but from your brethren. And the brethren of the Hebrews and the Bani Israel, the Arabs. Yeah? See, Mike, when we're talking about anti-Semitic, Arabs can't be anti-Semitic, they're Semitic themselves. They'll be insulting themselves. So they're the brethren. Yeah? Someone like unto thee, like Musa alayhi salam, who will speak to them, not from himself, yeah, but what Allah saying, what we reveal, he will not speak from himself except that which we make him speak from his mouth, as the Quran says. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak from himself. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is only... It is only wahi or revelation that is revealed to him that he's speaking. Wahyun yuha. And then, of course, also there's big debate even in the New Testament about the paraclete who will come. Yeah, that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, says that when he's leaving, yeah, he's giving the good news of the paraclete coming. And there's big debate on who the paraclete is, and also the idea that a different word was used, somebody replaced it, that it was more clearer about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This issue of the Gospel of Barnabas, when I mentioned about Gospels being displaced here and there, to be honest with you, the Gospel of Barnabas is a big question mark. Yeah. Even amongst the ulama of Islam, who question, is certainly questioned by the Christians, obviously, whether it's been concocted actually by a Muslim. So I wouldn't rely on this idea of Gospel of Barnabas. There's nothing scholarly that cements this and says this is definitely one of the Gospels of the Christians which they threw out. We have nothing firm on that. And we don't need it. Allah SWT also says from the mouth of Rasul Isa alayhi salam, Allah SWT says, Surah Saf, Allah SWT says, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. And when Isa, the son of Mary, said, Ya Bani Israel, inni Rasulullah ilaykum musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrat wa mubashiran bi rasulin ya'ti min ba'di ismuhu Ahmad. This is the Quran. So we believe Isa alayhi salam warned his people that this person is going to come. Quran's telling us. It's not from Hadith. Remember when Isa, son of Mary, Jesus, son of Mary, said to his people, O children of Israel, Ya Bani Israel, I am surely sent as a messenger to you to confirm that came in the Torah. Not with a new mission, not with Christianity, just to confirm what came in the Torah. Bani Israel again. وَصَدَّقَ لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ مِنَ التَّوْرَةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا. And to give you, I'm a giver of glad tidings. بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. To give you a glad tidings, a messenger who's to come after me. And his name is the praiseworthy Ahmad. كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا محمد وأنا أحمد. In authentic hadith, I mentioned to you before, I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad. And I am Al-Aqib and I am the one, Al-Aqib meaning like the heel, there's no La Nabiya Ba'di, nobody's coming after me. Ahmadis misuse that, we say. Ahmadis even misuse what? This one is actually against them. Ahmadis don't use this. They ignore this. They try and use the seal of the Prophet not to mean Khatimun Nabi. They say seal means just like a seal. It doesn't mean it's the end. This hadith actually says, Al-Aqib, there is no Prophet after me. So many hadith that came like that, Ahmadis tried to ignore them or reject them on no basis except hawa of desire. But we don't say all Ahmadis because there's sects in Ahmadis as well. There are those who don't see Mirza Ghulam as a prophet, by the way. They saw him as a mujaddid. They accept the finality of Rasulullah. So there are groups amongst them, so don't throw them all in the same bin. Be careful. Be careful doing takfir of people anyway, until you have clear knowledge of what they're saying. Or sometimes people do words of kufr, but they haven't denounced La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. So be careful. You can say this is kufr, but you don't necessarily say he or she is kafir, because they may be jahil, they may be ignorant, they may have other reasons that's not been clarified, and when it's clarified, they accept the reality. So be careful the difference between words of kufr and kafir themselves. So, like this ayah mentioned. And also, we have two other stories from authentic hadith. One is that the Ansar said, when they accepted Rasulullah, and this is authentic, they said, we already knew about the coming of a messenger. The Ansar are Aus and Khazraj in Medina. They're mushrikeen, aren't they? So how did they know? How do they know? The Jews. The Yahud in Medina used to tell them, there's a prophet coming, and when they used to have disputes with them, and that prophet, he's going to be taking sides with it, and we're going to destroy and overcome you when he comes. And he's coming soon. Notice, he's coming soon. Right? So the Ansar said, of course, when they realize, and the first time, and you'll see in the story later on, when they come and they hear of the Prophet, one of the things they said to them when they're discussing it, hey, listen, that's what they keep going on about. These lot. Let us be first to go and meet him. And if it's true, let's accept him. So they've got a competition with the Yahud. They're saying, well, they're the ones telling us all the time, so let's go and find out. So that's one of the, of course, Allah guides them, there's no doubt. It wasn't just this motive of dunya. But sometimes dunya motive drives to take the initial steps, doesn't it? You come with a different motive, but if you're sincere, Allah guides you to the truth. And then the motive disappears when you realize this is the messenger of Allah. Ya Allah, we'll give you our lives, our possessions, we'll die for you, Ya Rasulullah. So that's when it disappears, the motive of we'll have one over the Jews, doesn't it? That attitude is totally changed now after Iman comes. Okay? So this is authentic what they were saying. And they're saying, and Quran confirms it. Where? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ, when the book, the Quran came to them, from Allah, confirming that came to them before, Torah and Injil. And he's talking especially about the Yahud of Medina now. مصدقا لما معهم وكانوا من قبل. And before this, what did they used to do? يستفتحون على الذين كفروا. They used to say that we're going to have victory over you when he comes. They're saying to the Ansar, يستفتحون على الذين كفروا. ولما جاءهم ما عرفوا كفروا به. And فلما جاءهم, and when he came, they recognized him. Remember what I said earlier? You realize this is the Messenger of Allah. You realize this is the truth. And you reject. What did Quran say? فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا. Then he came with what they recognized. They knew. مَا عَرَفُوا. Allah saying it. Don't you think Allah knows the inside of their minds and hearts? And he's saying it. They knew. مَا عَرَفُوا. كَفَرُوا بِهِ. They rejected with what he brought. They realized this is the truth. Realize this is a messenger. كَفَرُوا. Another Quran says, they knew him like they know their own children, doesn't it? One of the Quranic ayat I have quoted here. Yeah? They recognize him like that. كَفَرُوا بِهِ. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. While when they reject, now Allah's saying the la'na, curse of Allah on those who are rejecters. After knowing, you reject. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other thing that confirms is another story, which is a children's story, and actually, you'll be glad to know this one is authentic. Amongst all the things I say is not authentic, not authentic, not authentic, and I will carry on saying it, and you're not going to be happy of all the nice stories that you know about that are not authentic. But here's one that is authentic, and that's the story of Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi was actually, even though he's Farisi, it seems his origins was from the Persians, but he actually was living amongst the Eastern Romans. He was with Christians. Yeah. And his story, which is authentic, mentions that his monk came to the deathbed. And he asked him advice. He said to the monk, obviously he was following a Christian monk. He said, well, you're going now. Who do you want me to go and follow? So the monk said to Salman, I don't really know of anybody of who I can recommend to you. But I know this much. Yeah, perhaps you want to take this advice. That in the haram there is going to be a prophet coming very soon. And he's going to move from that place to another place he described, Medina. He's going to do hijrah. So he told him where he's going to be. Yeah? Perhaps you want to go and search for him. So on this basis, this is a Christian saying it. What does the Quran say? It's in their scriptures already. You see, some recognized it. Some are waiting and recognize who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with the truth. Didn't just come out plucked out of air. The evidence is there as well and was there, brothers and sisters, for those who are truthful, for those who are honest in here, who want to find and know, and they're the ones who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepted him. And those who came after as well, who saw that he was a messenger of Allah. So, Salman says he travels for that reason. He goes to Medina. He says, I'll give you three clues which will clarify to you he's a messenger of God. One, what were they? What were the three?
He takes from a gift, and what he doesn't take from the sadaqah, and he has a seal of prophet on his shoulder.
He doesn't take from charity. He'll take as a gift. He'll eat from a gift, not from charity, and he has a seal on his shoulder. So now the story goes how Salman comes to Medina, Rasulullah Salman already in Medina, and he's trying to look at the back of Rasulullah Salman to find the seal. Yeah, and this seal is just described in other hadith as just a bubble of skin, hardened, thickened skin on his shoulder. It's not a seal where it says Muhammad Rasulullah, by the way, that some people think. Yeah, that was on his ring. Yeah, on his ring. Not here, it doesn't say. The seal here means there was a sign. Yeah, this is one of the signs of those who knew of his nubuwwah. And then he says, like the brother said. So Salman came and first he found a seal, then he wanted to test him. So he gave him something, yeah, and he said, this is a charity for you. And the Prophet ﷺ refused to eat from it and gave it to others. Then he said, this is a gift. And he noticed he ate from that. These things which were given to him, advice from the Christian monk, he accepted Rasulullah as the messenger of God. So this is in the background, to the coming of Rasulullah. And the report then, which is authentic, that on one of these occasions, when the Prophet went to the cave to withdraw to meditate, the report which mentions from Ibn Ishaq and Ibn Hisham, ulama of hadith and fuqaha, which says he was asleep, is not authentic. It is not authentic that Gabriel came to him in his sleep. Sorry, no, it's not. It's the other way. He was awake and Jibreel came to him, suddenly upon him. Suddenly, baghtatan, suddenly. So he's shocked. And in this situation, we say Jibreel came in the form of a man. Because the Prophet ﷺ said he saw Jibreel on two occasions on his original form. This is not one of them. It's a little after this. And of course on the Mi'raj. From that statement, we see that he came in the form of a man. It was frightening enough that he suddenly appeared in the form of a man. And the story says, Jibreel said, Iqra, the Prophet ﷺ narrating himself. And he said, I said, Ma ana biqari, I am not a reader. You know, all sorts of ideas are given by ulama to try and understand this, what's going on, and why Prophet ﷺ might ana biqari. Because there's no mention of hadith that he showed him a parchment and said, read from this. And the Prophet saying, I'm not a reader. So others said, he must have said recite, because no parchment's mentioned. But if he said recite with the meaning, then the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have responded, Ma ana biqari, would he? What do you think? Does it fit? He's saying recite without any reading. Prophet ﷺ is saying, I'm not a reader, meaning I don't read and write, Ma ana biqari. So either there has to be a parchment, or there's another conclusion. So I thought about this for years. My conclusion in the past was that possibly there was a parchment. There's no need to mention it. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, I can't read this. What I believe now is that Jibreel, there's no need to go on to this. Jibreel is saying Iqra because he wants him to recite the ayats from the beginning of the surah of Alaq. The Prophet ﷺ understand when he says Iqra, that he's going to say, read something. So he says, Ma ana biqari. Prophet ﷺ doesn't know he's going to carry on reciting some verses from the Quran for him to repeat until he does it after that. You understand? So while Jibreel is mentioning the first word of the first revelation, the Prophet ﷺ is seeing him saying, read. He's saying, I can't read. But he's saying what the Quran is just saying. Yeah, because you see what happens after that. And not because of the... Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and I said, Ma ana biqari, that he took a hold of me. And he pressed me so hard, I felt as though all my life was going drained from me. And he let me go and said a second time, Iqra. My response again, Ma ana biqari, I'm not a reader. I can't read. Second time does the same. Third time does the same. Now Jibreel doesn't stop and say, Iqra, and by the way, now you can read this. He didn't say that. He just says, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So Prophet ﷺ remembers this. He remembers this. He don't remember reading it. He remembers it from the recitation of it. So what Jibreel is doing is now reciting what is going to be revealed. And all the revelations takes place, not with parchments coming to Rasulullah to read, but Jibreel coming, isn't it? So that's the best understanding to take from it, of Ma ana biqari, why he said, I'm not a reader. So when this happens, the hadith, when the Prophet is shaking and trembling, and he runs away from the cave and runs back to Khadija radiallahu anha. I'd say, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. Cover me up, cover me up. And he's shaking and trembling. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's not, you know, counter the idea that he already knows about all these ideas of Nubuwwah and all signs coming. He knew that the rock saying Islam to him, he couldn't understand it. He'll understand it afterwards. Yeah? But all the other false stories, we don't need them. And others who claim he was a prophet, and people actually claim he knew about it, he was a prophet before as well, before the Nubuwwah. All the evidence is totally against that. He didn't know. So much so, and this is a beautiful story, because here's Rasulullah. This is a man in male chauvinist, not just Arabia, male chauvinist world. You follow me? Male chauvinist world. Male chauvinist West until the last 60, 70 years, even recognizing rights of women. And now they want to try to teach us. But we've got issues anyway. That's beside the point. Not that they need to teach us. We've got issues to resolve to go back to the Nubuwwah of Rasulullah. This man of 40. 40 is also significant in the Arabs. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his wisdom, I don't know for sure. But something from the culture we can learn. That in Arab culture at the time, young person, shab, is anybody under 40 years of age. So I was going to say, I'm still young, but I'm not under 40 now. I could say that a few years ago when I did fiqh qasida, but I'm afraid I can't say that anymore. But after 40, they become rajul. Rajul, a man. Okay? So, elders in the community, they don't listen to people in their 30s. Oh, young man, go away. Who are you? What do you know? Rajul, they just about tolerate. Sheikh, when they get to 60, you know, they say, okay, give us some of your wisdom now. The sheikh came from applying to sheikh of scholarship, even for young people, came from the idea of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah, 60 plus, etc. Yeah. So those are the kind of people. So even Rajul, they had a problem with young man coming to tell them, who are you? But still, Rajul had a bigger standing than anything less. So 40... it's an interesting juncture where they actually recognize at least he's become a man. He's become of age, yeah, as they would say in English. So it's interesting that. But here, now, interesting, that the Prophet ﷺ comes back to his wife, not just for comfort as we would perhaps go to our home, but no, it doesn't end there. He says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, yes, cover me up. And he's shaking, stop, and he says, right, wife, I'm off now to see some elders, some wise prophets. Yeah, from my community. Men, of course. What do women know? Nothing. You can imagine what they were thinking at that time. What do women know? On your back, you know, we sell them, buy them, we abuse them, use them as we want. That's what the society was. Rasulullah ﷺ, not like that even then, brothers and sisters. Yeah. And the position of woman in Islam, just go back to this story. It'll be enough to show you what the position of woman should be really in Islam and how much has been fogged and discovered after that. I tell you, the Prophet ﷺ, when he finally stops shaking, etc., he seeks her advice, radiallahu anha, his wife's advice. Not because she was now 55 and he married her when she was 40 and she's older. Don't use those excuses. They don't work. Just because it was his wife, his partner. He didn't look down on women that they didn't have any clue, yeah, or they were less in their understanding. He's asking for her advice. And he's saying, I'm afraid for myself, the Prophet ﷺ said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'm afraid for myself. So he came round. And she asked him, why? What happened? And he shared the story of what happened in the cave. And Khadija radiallahu anha, she said, Kalla, when he said, I'm afraid for myself, I don't know what's happening to me. In other words, he was implying maybe Allah's punishing me or something's, you know, happening to me to damage me. Hadith or not? Kalla, la kalla. No, no way. Abshir. Instead, receive glad tidings. For wallahi. So she's glad tidings. You should be looked by God, by Allah. La yukhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never humiliate somebody like you. Khadija, she says, because You're the one who keeps the blood ties. You help always the poor and the destitute. Yeah? You speak the truth always. This is his qualities coming out from his wife. You honor the guest and you assist always those in need. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kalla. No, it's not going to happen to you. I don't believe that that's going to happen. Yeah, but I believe instead what's happening. So now at Khadija herself, radiallahu anha, decides to take him to her cousin, Waraqa. Waraqa I mentioned to you before as well. Everybody knows about Waraqa. Waraqa bin Nawfal. And Waraqa bin Nawfal is a Christian. So she says, look, listen to the story here. You know, advice he's asking. So the Prophet starts to mention the story to Waraqa. What does Waraqa say? Remember what I said? Those who know from their own scriptures. So Waraqa said when he heard the story, he says, ah, this is a namus. Meaning this is Gabriel, or some Arab language they say, this is a message that came to those before you. I wish I was young to be present and be with you the day that your people throw you out. Prophet said, what? They're going to throw me out? He said, of course. Nobody ever came with a message like this before. And the people didn't do what they're going to do to you. Yeah. Alas, he said, I wish I would be there the day they throw you out. So I would support you. So I would support you. And he died soon after that. So historians don't mention about the Islam of Waraqa. Majority think that he died a Christian, etc. But the reality is from an authentic statement of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I saw Waraqa in one of the paradises. You can see from his words. What is he saying? Yeah, he's not saying, oh, you're cuckoo. Maybe it was some sort of jinn, I can't be bothered. You know, he's saying, I wish I was younger, I would support, not wish I was younger so I can have a watch and a laugh. No, I wish I was younger, I would support you. That's his iman. Yeah. And why the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that. So the best story is about Waraqa bin Nawfal in Jannah, subhanAllah, isn't it? So now this is more clarity for Khadija, what she already believed, radiallahu anha. Yeah. And the first person to believe in Islam, Khadija. You see the station? Not a man, but a woman and his wife. And as some historians said quite rightly, you know, don't think this is weak because, it's his wife, isn't it? She's obviously going to believe in him. No, it'd be the opposite. It's the opposite. Because out there, you can get away with all sorts of honor and respect and people don't know the truth about you until the most intimate person knows about you when you go home. So out there, you might be a big sheikh or a big teacher out there or a big boss of a company. In here, you're just my husband. Watch it. I know all your secrets and what you're about, what your weaknesses are. So the least likely person to accept somebody as a prophet is the one living inside. Because out there, you get away with all sorts. Yeah, conjurings of all sorts, like people go around doing nowadays even. People become saints overnight, suddenly. Yeah. So her accepting Rasulullah is the truthfulness of Rasulullah. Khadija radhiyallahu anha. And he used to mention that for the rest of his life. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. How much she comforted him, how she cared for him, and how when everybody else around rejected him, she believed in him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mentioned by Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Just reminds me that of the story that George Bernard Shaw actually, who writes about the prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, and he's not a believer, but he says one of the signs of the truthfulness of this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is when his young wife Aisha in later days used to say to him, and this is also an authentic hadith, she used to say, to have a go at Khadija and other wives because she wanted to raise herself in his eyes to get his attention. He used to say, I used to get jealous. Aisha Radha says it herself. I used to get jealous. So one time I said to him, which is better, to graze your animals in a field where other people have already grazed, or to go to a fresh field where nobody has grazed before? She's talking about her virginity and Khadija radiallahu anha. She was really having a go more than anybody at her, because we have from history what is also confirmed, that she had been married twice before and her husband had died. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ said, no, Aisha, he told her off. He said, no, that Khadija radiallahu anha, and that's when he mentions her station with her, how much he loved her, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how, and nobody else believed in him, how she supported and believed in him. And they always used to mention it, which used to irk Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, and she accepts that. So George Bernard Shaw says, he says, look, this man was always truthful. Any other man would have, just to appease his present wife, because the other one's already gone, he would have said, oh, it's all right, no, you're most loving to me and everything, it's all right. Yeah, you're right. He didn't say that. He said what needed to be said, which was the truth. So he uses this as a sign of the truthfulness. Interesting, isn't it? How non-Muslim, he looks at that, he says, hey, this is a sign of his truthfulness, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, so we stop here at after Warakat bin Nawfal and the Iman of Khadija radiallahu anha, and we'll carry on from there inshallah next time. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.